I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky smooth tree runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree dasher, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of tree dashers, runners, pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Go.
None of those boys know the first thing about your fantasies, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
And Peter's here.
Speaking of fantasies, Luke just got his nip-nip out.
He did. Just the one. It was the left one.
I wish my I had your nipples, one. Luke.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mine are too spiky and pointy. And they're
too spiky and pointy for what?
For everything. They're just too... Look at them. Too much.
No, actually, I can see them now through your shirt.
But they're everybody's nipples in the Ramble. That's the great thing. So if
exactly.
Luke's got
public
nipples,
domain nipples,
so do you in a way.
Yeah. Yay.
In a way. It was Big Sam's 60th birthday on the weekend. Big Sam Allardyce. How about that, eh?
60.
What a celebration. If you were to buy him a birthday gift, or you could celebrate with him, take him out, perhaps something like that. Jim, what are you thinking?
He's a man who likes to lead, isn't he? It's fair to say, of Big Sam. His teams are very robust, very tough to break down. Every game against an Allardyce team is a battle. So I would take him on a paintball military skirmish.
Nice.
And I would let him lead and just absolutely go for it. And I think it would be rousing.
Your team would win.
But they would dig in. It would be hard. It would probably come down to the last man, which would be just him. I'd imagine it would last for a week or so. I think you'd have a lovely
dig in.
Time.
You'd go to ground. You'd really dig in there.
You see him throwing
like
paint grenades long.
Yeah.
I've
never actually been paintballing, which is poor, I know. But
I haven't.
I know that it's a bit annoying because if you get shot anywhere on your body or head, then you're out, you're done, you're dead. Mm. Even if it's just on the hand, you know? And I can imagine if Sam Allardyce shot someone, say, on the hand, and they started moaning, he would laugh at them like he did laugh at, was it
Chico Angel? Flores.
Oh, Chico Flores, yeah.
And
they would have to leave, and then he would shoot them in the back when they were
I'd make sure he had all the top kit, so he had like a paint bazooka, a paint machine gun, just all of it.
I've never seen a paint bazooka at paintball before.
Well, I'd get one made.
Absolutely.
It should be a tin of paint. Wouldn't it just launch tins of paint?
I would imagine Allardyce being a very, let's say, earthy man, he would probably do that.
I went paintballing himself. Once.
He'd just bring loads of Dulux along.
I went paintballing once with my friend Duncan. We were in this room, similar to this, with the windows kicked out so people could fire paintballs through them. And the paint grenade came in, and I promise this is true. My mate Duncan dived on the paint.
Oh
grenade.
My goodness! Yes.
Wow!
Yeah.
Did he? And that?
And then obviously he was out, but the rest of us survived.
What a guy!
Have I met that Duncan?
You probably have. Yeah,
he's a nice chap.
Yeah. That's brilliant behaviour.
Yeah, that's the sort of guy he is. Yeah.
Saved your afternoon, really.
One thing I found out with paintball, because I've done it a few times, is that you get two types of people. You get the people who, because obviously you're in one team over here and one team over here. And your other ends of the site, and then at some point in the next few minutes, you're going to encounter an opposition, an enemy, basically. Mm. And then it's really weird because you don't fall into two distinct camps. You fall into the human being type that legs it, or the fight or flight thing, and the human being type who actually fires your gun.
Yeah,
and you have to really train yourself to be the one that fires the gun. It's crazy because
you're saying that you're a natural coward.
I've said I was
until that.
Years of paintballing have trained me to be an assassin.
The only time I've ever done paintballing was in an underground ex-Soviet bunker in Prague, and I just found like a speaker stack and I climbed on top of it and then jumped off it and sprained my ankle a bit. So I was just dicking around, really. Didn't really get involved in the fight itself.
You guys have met my mate. You guys have met my friend Jimmy as well, haven't you?
The listeners haven't.
Oh, just really quickly, he once
the fruitarian.
Yeah, he's so blind that he can't do anything about his glasses, and he refused to take his glasses off of paintballs. He put the goggles on top of them. Then they said, no, you can't do that. So he eventually took the glasses off, put the goggles on,
and then glasses over.
They steamed up, and he legged it and ran into a tank and knocked himself out.
A paint tank.
My goodness. Back to Big Sam's birthday, Luke.
Yes.
What would
you
go for?
That was a bit of a diversion, wasn't it? I think I would probably take him away for a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing saucy.
Up against the BMW.
I'll take him to Madrid.
That's Jewel, not Zaladice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sorry.
I'll take him to Madrid and probably do a stadium tour of the Bernabeu.
Ah.
And let him have a sit in the manager's chair and say, do you like that? Do you feel comfortable there?
Yeah,
that's the nearest you're going to get
if you were sat here.
I thought you were going to say, and then you would camouflage him to make him look like one of the chairs, and come match day,
he jumps up. Yeah, he jumps
sorry,
up.
Boys.
Yeah.
To be fair to Allardyce, which traditionally we're not, he was joking when he said all that, wasn't he?
But come on.
Well, it can be a joke gift then, can't it?
Yeah. Pete?
I would either go for a Mop-A-Top hair shop, because it's a brilliant toy that everyone can enjoy. A Mop-A-Top hair shop.
A Mop-A-Top hair shop?
Yeah.
The one where you squeeze the plasticine and it grows the hair?
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Do you ever have an Argos catalogue, Marcus? I do
worry. One for the kids, that one.
One for the kids.
Everyone at the age of like 18 is like, what are you talking about?
All right, it's probably called a Ben 10 hair machine or something. I don't know. Nowadays. I'd buy him Luka Modric, because that's what he said that he was going to try and buy when he was at Newcastle.
Okay.
Before Mike Ashley fired him.
I think that ship sailed, personally. It's a noble pursuit, I'll give you that.
But if he was, with Luke's suggestion, he would get Luka Modric thrown in, really.
Let's move the mountain to Mohammed, that's what I'm
exactly.
saying.
As I recall, Modric didn't play particularly well in the match over the weekend, so I think he missed a couple of sitters.
Oh, is he not good anymore?
Yeah. No, he's not.
I think he'd do a job for you, mate.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I would take him over anyone.
Well, you know why he did that? Because he's angling for a move to West Ham.
There we are.
That's
it. Yeah, I would try and gate crash a wedding with Big Sam, because I think he would be great at the traditional working man's.
And
wedding.
You're not.
Yeah, no, he'd show me what to do. Yeah. He would love a vol-au-vent, but also I could just see. You know that bit in a wedding where you have the first dance and you're trying to get everybody up for it and all? I think he'd be straight on there.
Tie around the head.
Tie around the head. He'd go in early with that, but he would be like getting the old dears up and having a little dance with them. Then he'd get the boys going.
Would he be moaning they didn't serve Miles behind the bar? No punch to Miles.
He'd be behind the bar serving everybody.
He'd be master of ceremony, yeah.
I think he'd get away with it as well, because people are going to go, is that Sam Allardyce? No one here knows Sam Allardyce. That must just be a generic uncle.
Come on, you bastards. Get on the dance floor.
Luke's got the points.
Three.
Thank you, Luke.
I think I want a hat trick now.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah,
hat-trick of penalties.
Look at that. Speaking of penalties, there's been lots of them in the Premier League on the weekend. Lots of own goals as well. That takes us neatly to Southampton 8, Sunderland 0. Sunderland had the second best defensive record in the division going into the game.
What a strange situation.
Oh, for Genie, what a goal.
That was one of the best own goals I've ever seen.
Agree. Yeah.
Like, something we all love is how attacking an own goal looks. And that one, what a finish.
Running at speed, curled. Oh,
no pressure on him.
It's hard to even work out how he did it.
Yeah, because what he thought was going to happen.
Mm. Because he's obviously swung at it without really looking what he's doing. And I agree with him. I mean, if he's playing the percentages then, you can't blame him because the chance of that going in. And one thing I would say is, when I watched Match of the Day 2, or whatever it was, Match of the Day, and saw the highlights, I ended up just thinking, I've never seen a keeper make no saves before. Yeah, I don't think Vito Minoni made a single actual save.
He saved one onto the post and in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He saved one from Pella, I think it was, and then the defender put it in.
Yeah, okay. Like,
it just all went wrong, didn't it? I mean, yeah, Minoni had they all had a torrid afternoon, and he gifted one to Tadic later on.
That was
bad,
Jesus.
Honestly think that was the most embarrassing Premier League display I've ever seen.
It's up there, isn't it?
So bad.
The Wigan 9-1 against Spurs wasn't ideal.
I think this was worse than that because they just sort of, they gave up really early on, didn't they? They seemed to think, like, it's not going our way.
There was a moment.
And then they just kept making errors. And
there was a moment when Fletcher went through and it could have been a penalty.
There was a penalty, definitely.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously that would have changed the game. The keeper would have probably been sent off.
Yeah, it might have been 8-1.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. But yes, that decision, because they didn't get that, shouldn't have then led to them losing or conceding five more goals or whatever
just
it was.
Nobody
at the time.
Like tracking anything, just kind of.
Even like Lee Catamol, who's usually.
He was particularly bad for one or two of the goals. I think because one of the goals came straight from the kickoff of a goal before, didn't it? And Catamol particularly was bad in that one. But I think that, you know, you go away to Southampton, and as you said, Marcus, Sunderland's defence isn't all that bad generally going into that game. You know what you're going to get with Southampton. You're going to get high intensity. You're going to get a lot of work rate, and they're going to be a crisp passing team. Okay, you understand that. So then you've got to get at them. You've got to get amongst them. You've got to spend your week in training up to that point, working on pressing them and making it difficult for them. Because there's no real reason that team should be any fitter than Sunderland. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're going to have more of the ball, and so that makes it harder. But you just got to dig out.
Well, you do, and I think and something that you said, Peter, once about the Manchester United players under Moyes. Not playing for the manager. Anybody should play. Obviously, it's
for
difficult
their
under
own pride.
Well, exactly. Yeah, but it looked like when they went a few goals down, they stopped trying. That, you know, there's been talk, and they're not playing for the manager. Or is this just a one-off? Do you think
they've had an excellent start the season, really, compared to how they finished the last one? I think to a certain extent. I think it's a hell of a blip, but it's,
indeed, yeah.
As blips go. I think time will tell to see if they're playing for that manager.
Yeah, I think it's probably too early to say things like that.
Didn't they lose to QPR though?
Sunderland, they lost 1-0.
Yeah, that's a poor result. That's arguably a worse result than the 8-0.
But you do look at the manager and think he's not been working that long in you know, he's had a couple of fairly high profile positions and stuff, but I still think he's learning Gus Poyet.
He was sacked on Match of the Day.
Yeah,
exactly. That's a good bit of experience for him.
Vito Minoni said that the players should pitch in and reimburse the fans who made the trip down south.
Yeah,
and that is a hell of a trip.
I appreciate the sentiment, but I think Vito Minoni should just keep quiet for a very long time.
Yeah,
he was so good for them last season, wasn't he?
I know, that's a really crazy thing.
Hopefully, for their sake, it is just a one-off, as you say. What do you think about that when they sort of think, should we reimburse the fans or not? I mean, it is a nice gesture. Of course it is, and obviously Wigan did that for their fans. But then there does creep in a little precedent if they go away.
It's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Yeah, to another club far away from Sunderland, and then maybe lose 5-0.
Shouldn't the idea be there's a precedent so you never let it happen again?
Side, it's we are losing, but we can just pay them off. Don't worry about it. We'll just pay for it.
I mean, we earn so much money, and we get paid weekly.
Yeah,
but out of all the expense for an away trip to Southampton, so you got to get the train down to London, and then another train down to Southampton. If indeed you are not making a 10-hour
Imagine that trip back, Pete.
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a fun trip back. That's all kind of almost gallows humour. But out of all of the expense in that trip, the ticket price is probably 10%. You know, it's a ridiculous amount of money to get down there. And a lot of away teams starting now this season has kind of reduced the... What, they're suggesting paying for the
I assume Minoni was like... Yeah, I thought that's what Minoni was saying. Yeah. And maybe he wasn't.
I'll bump the price
up. I'll stitch him up there if he is.
That's what he should be offering.
Yeah, I think so. Did
you see another bad decision from that footballer?
Yeah.
You see, there were loads of fans who left at like 4-0.
Yeah.
But wow, what, are you just going to wait by the coach? Like,
where are you going? To be fair, it was quite a mild day. Maybe they popped to the beach.
Is it fair to say that if Minot does reimburse those fans, it's the closest he's been all weekend to a saving?
Hey. Yeah. That's quite good, that. Leave off, everybody.
I had it chopped around my head and I thought, this is not worth really...
And that's where I come in.
I was thinking accountants.
That's where the Venn diagram meets.
Well, yeah, but Southampton looked very impressive. I mean, that's...
Yeah, everything went off for them, though, didn't it? A few things that weren't even things. Yeah. Like Virginie's wonder goal.
The lot. It all happened. Yeah. I mean, hopefully they've not scored... They've used the next two or three games amount of goals, if you know what I mean, in that one there. But they're still third. They're still third.
Playing really well.
Wasn't it, who got the goal from the mix-up between Minoni and Virginie again and Minoni, yeah. But it was still a really tidy finish to get it in from there.
He's a great player. Did you hear what he said after the game? He said, at my last club, I was known as the king of assists, and I hope to be the same here.
All right.
Big talk.
Hashtag Blunderland.
The Southampton were very good, though. I mean, they were absolutely ruthless, weren't they?
Yeah, but I love that Koeman sort of was still pushing them on to try and get more goals, because you know, that result alone could effectively seal them an extra point at the end of the season.
That's a Dutch manager as opposed to an Italian manager for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you don't get those results in Italy so much. I know Inter did beat Sassuolo, but they tend to ease off, don't they? Yeah, in the
like Germany against Brazil. Oh, I don't want to humiliate them. No, that's Southampton.
Yeah. Oh, they got one more. Yeah. They got one more. Sunderland had slightly more possession than Southampton. I find that odd.
That's hilarious.
Because they took so many kickoffs.
53% possession there, Sunderland had. Which proves, you know, all you Pep Guardiola fans, it's not all about possession, is it?
Yeah.
You know when they say, well, the only stat that matters, well, that's one of those games. Yeah. Well, that is very much the case.
Didn't Guardiola disassociate himself with Tiki-Taka this week?
From Sunderland?
After the Southampton game? He should be giving his trophies back.
What Sunderland tried to do was nothing to do with me. Yeah. Okay, that was not... you say that, though, but didn't Xabi Alonso notch up to over 200 passes in a game?
He broke a Bundesliga record.
Yeah. Wow. Nothing to do with me. It's all Xabi's work. I was telling him to play it long. You've changed, Pep.
Yeah.
You've changed. Right, where else in the league? Well, the aforementioned QPR, they were beaten 3-2 by Liverpool. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
That was such a strange game.
It doesn't shower.
It was a really good weekend for football.
It was a great weekend.
It was absolutely brilliant.
For more sort of comical side of the game, I would say.
Yeah.
Richard Dunn became the first man to score 10 own goals in the Premier League.
Just the look on his face as it happened. He seemed so aware of that fact.
Yeah,
I've been here before. He's very much associated with it. Jamie Carragher's loving that. Distances him from it forever.
It's more just like when he scored the own goal, I was thinking, oh God, he looks about 10 years older.
Yeah.
Like, he's an old-looking chap.
Goal will age you.
Yeah. Richard Dunn is ruthless in front of goal, though. I mean, he's ruthless in front of his own goal.
I think you mean gormless.
Yeah.
Poor old Richard Dunn. I mean, Corker, when he put that one in...
Oh, his face
you felt so sorry for him. Yeah. He was absolutely gutted. Whereas Dunn, as you say, had a look of... And even the attempt to clear it, he just couldn't quite get it. It was almost like... Yeah. Oh, Dad, again.
It was good analysis on the telly, because they were showing how he actually switched off and how he couldn't sort his feet out because he wasn't concentrating.
It was a quick thing from, was it Sterling who got fouled and took the free kick quickly? Yeah.
And what an amazing end to the game.
When it went to 2-2 and QPR got that free kick, which eventually led to the Liverpool goal, it's a really interesting situation, because ordinarily you think, right, take the point. Get in the corner, take the point.
Absolutely.
But the pressure QPR are under in the league, and the fact that they know this could be a real showpiece result for them, something to hang their hat on, they went for it, of course, and got caught out.
I don't think take the point there. I understand what you're saying, but you've got a free kick where you can knock the ball into the opposition's penalty area, and you're at home, and you've just got back at them again, and you've been the better team. I think it would be terrible if they just knocked
also,
it in the corner.
So far this season, the free kick where you get to put the ball in the box against Liverpool, I mean, that's basically a goal. That is essentially a goal.
Well, where the error was because he knocked it in an area where there were no QPR players, and then they were right on the break. They probably shouldn't have committed so many men forward, but again, to single out Richard Dunn, he sees Coutinho bursting forward, and he's got Sterling on his right shoulder. He just watches the ball, and you think there's a lot of space in behind you, which Coutinho superbly found. Drop a few yards, because my goodness, they've got the beating of you with pace. And Coutinho just beautifully stroked the ball into that area.
It's a great pass.
Sterling was
the
away.
Only being that Dunn and Coulter had an argument about whether Coulter should go up for the free kick or not. Dunn called him back. Mm. If he hadn't called him back, he wouldn't have been there to score the own goal.
I thought second half Liverpool really bucked their ideas up, because first half they were pretty.
Well, they
terrible.
Couldn't have got worse. They could not have got
they
worse.
Were awful.
Bobby Zamora looked like he looked in that run Fulham out of the Europa League. I know he's played slightly different position then. More of an inverted winger type role. He wasn't a proper out and out sort of hold up man then. But against Liverpool, he was amazing. It was the best half of football I've seen from a player this season, possibly. But just thought about Aguero. Halfway through that sentence, I thought about Aguero. One of the best halves of football I've seen from a player this season.
But that's why it was like compare and contrast with what Balotelli did, I think.
Yeah. That's what Balotelli should be doing. I know he's not that type of player.
Like, but the thing with Balotelli, though, is like, obviously he missed an absolute sitter, which is ridiculous, but that's probably symptomatic of how much pressure is on him. Like, you know, like anywhere else he would have
buried
that.
But he looks so dejected.
But he gets angry, doesn't he? And he stops trying. It almost reminds me of how Andy Murray used to mess stuff up because his temper would get the better of him. Yeah. And so he just, so his reaction to it, I guess, is to not engage with it.
Yeah.
Is to just sulk and not try.
Well, especially, like, he was a player who got 23, 24 goals last season. You know, he's not like he's a spent force at 21 or however old he is.
I'm not sure how many he got, but he certainly got was Milan's.
What he did for that, them, what, he was a top scorer, wasn't he?
I think so.
When he had that chance where he put the ball over the bar, it's just a classic example of a striker who's not amongst the goals because
he missed.
No, but it's the way he missed. He snatched it and he was through his technique. If you saw his technique, he was through the shot
didn't trust his technique to place it. He wanted to put some power into it.
With a mixture of panic and disdain.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that that with going back to Zamora, it is frustrating when you're a manager you have that type of player, because you know what he's capable of and he can be so effective. But then sometimes, you know, he's a bit injury prone, and then other times he goes missing. But when he turns up, you know, Zamora's a brilliant player. Yeah. I mean, I was.
Well, you could level that exact same accusation at Balotelli, though. You just
yeah, no, of course, yeah. But just to highlight what we were saying. Well, yeah, but we know Balotelli's got great quality.
Mm.
Whereas Zamora's had a funny old career. I mean, it was only a couple of years ago I was saying he should be in the England squad, but those days are past.
Well,
now,
he's not able to stay
and
fit.
In the past, they must remain.
Well, Marcus, the main reason for that is not his ability; he can't stay fit and he can't last 90 minutes. I mean, he's that's just behind him now. That sort of form.
No, of course, yeah. But I'm just saying that. Hence, I said it's in the past.
You just get the feeling with someone to take it back to Balotelli. You sort of get the feeling that someone like Man City can carry a player like that because they've got so many talented players. But when you've lost a talisman like Suarez, Liverpool just can't really carry somebody like that who just doesn't look interested. You know, gone are the days where you can have that Matt Letizia sort of player that just ambles around the pitch and then scores a stream.
Letizia would produce, though.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason you don't see poachers up front anymore, because they need to make a big contribution.
Yep.
Yeah, it's difficult for Balotelli. He's one of those players also that looks... I mean, you don't want to defend him just for the sake of defending him, but his goal scoring record for the ages out and the clubs he's been at is quite good overall. So, I mean, there is that. But he's one of those players that when it's not going well for him, he automatically looks like he's going to be the scapegoat because of the way he carries himself and stuff like that.
And
if you could just sort that out.
He has the weight of his own past on his back, because, like, suddenly every stupid thing he's ever done is there to beat him with again. And people will do that.
I just get
needs a goal in the league.
That someone like Brendan Rodgers, he's famed for his man management. Mm. Now, if anyone can sort him out, he should be able to, I think, to a certain extent.
Well, he handled Sterling very well.
You think?
I'm just talking
England
in general.
Right.
Sterling was 17 and kind of burst onto the scene. Yeah. He played him for a fair bit for the first half of the season, then went easy on him. And Sterling, there's a lot of off-the-field stuff going on there. You know,
Rodgers definitely deserves a lot of credit for getting Sterling performance to that level.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I thought you meant recently with this whole Roy Hodgson thing, which I think both of them need to just knock
off. Oh, yeah, we talked about
that. I'm talking about developing as a man as well as a player. Mm. And I think Pete's right, you know, that Rodgers would hopefully be the man to sort out Balotelli in this current situation. Well, obviously, he's his manager. Prime candidate, you could argue. But I think with Balotelli, it's so tricky that he knows he's got the ability and everybody else does. But when he gets on his own back, he gets angry. Now, do you try and whip him into shape? I think Mancini tried that approach a few times. Does he then sulk? So then do you kind of leave him? But clearly he needs some kind of man management. It's such a delicate
one. The perfect example is a player that he's played with before and that we all know and love, in Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He does exactly the same thing, but he channels that anger into positivity on the pitch. Like Zlatan says in his book, he has to be like that to be at his best.
Yeah.
So Balotelli, he needs to do the same thing. He's got that in him. So he needs to channel it, otherwise it's just going to hamper him.
I reckon he should bring his mum in on the training ground.
I
just think she'd sort him out.
Give him a dry slap.
Yeah.
I don't think Balotelli's got...
Wow, that's strong.
I understand what you're saying, Jim, but I don't think Balotelli's got the ability of Zlatan. So it's not
as
easy
young,
to affect a game.
I mean, of course, there's still a lot for him to learn.
But Zlatan Ibrahimovic learnt a lot under Fabio Capello.
Yeah.
And he learnt that winning mentality, that out and out, you win. Don't matter, you know, he said that Capello said to him on
and
the training ground.
And Zlatan's got 5 years on him, at least.
Yeah, you know. Of course.
And Capello's forgotten
no more than
about
that.
That now.
Way more than that.
No, yeah, but Ibrahimovic is old. He's old. He's probably eight or nine years on him. But that in his book when he said Capello is on the training ground shouting at him, I will kick Ajax out of you. You know, that kind of total football way. You will win for me kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's learnt, and hopefully Balotelli will do the same thing. Because he could be one of the better strikers in the Premier League.
He was a passenger against QPR.
Yeah.
And he was a big part of the reason they should have lost. I mean, the first half, QPR should have been out of sight.
Mm. At least he played, and at least he's looking good. Unlike Adel Taarabt.
Oh, God.
Speaking of man management.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Before the game, Redknapp was talking about, you know, I've known pressure in this job a long time. Trust me, I'm under no pressure. By the end of it, what do you expect me to do if somebody don't want a bloody train?
My player got fat.
To be fair.
How can I possibly solve this problem? It's almost as if I am the manager of the football club. And also, I have 10 staff.
Yeah. I like that Redknapp does that as soon as they lose the game. You guarantee he wouldn't be mentioning that if they won the game.
No.
And the worst thing about it is this classic diversionary tactic from Redknapp, making it all about Taarabt. The press just lap it up. The press just go with that as a lead story. They go with the fact that Redknapp's got the worst Premier League record. He's got a worse Premier League record than Hughes at QPR.
Yeah.
They can't buy a win. Mm. They should have closed that game out. They didn't. He's ultimately to blame. Along with the players, of course, but he's ultimately to blame. And the press just aren't putting him under anything.
But, I mean, does Redknapp have a point at all with Taarabt's attitude?
If you're in a boy band, right, you have a contract with your record company that means you have to go to the gym three times a week, you've got to work out, you've got to look good.
Mm.
And it's a million times more pressure on a footballer because that's his job, that's his one job. So why you can't force him to train, to lose weight, or if he's that much of a problem, it's a breach of contract. It's plain and simple.
Yes,
if he's actually three stone. Mm. But then you look at pictures of him before the match, doesn't look noticeably overweight.
No. When he's training.
He's not three stone overweight, and Redknapp can use any other of the 55 other players that have been for the club when he's been manager there. The reason that they lost that game against Liverpool, and the reason they're bottom of the table, I would say, is probably less than 1% to do with Adel Taarabt.
It's the same crap that Pardew in the set at Newcastle tried with Ben Arfa. You know, it's just crap. And I would argue that Taarabt and, to a lesser extent, Ben Arfa, they're not match winners anyway. You know, they'll turn a game on the head for one goal, maybe, but then you can't leak goals like they've been doing all season.
Taarabt isn't going to score four goals a game.
No.
So it's nothing to do with him. What it's to do with is the fact you look at all the different stats and facts around QPR this season, the least amount of fouls, the least amount of cards. They're not competing. Their fitness is poor. Richard Dunn came out, didn't he, today and said, our fitness, we're not fit enough to be in this league.
Wow.
And you look at someone like Clint Hill, who's been out injured. He's a massive influence for them. You look at Joe Barton, who wasn't available. These are all factors.
To be fair to Redknapp, he was directly asked about Taarabt, so it's not like he just brought him up out of the blue.
Yeah.
Obviously, people are wondering, why isn't he playing and yada, yada, yada.
He was asked about it, but at the same time, Redknapp is a canny operator, and he knows that he can give the press a story, which will take the pressure off him. And that's what he's done.
And but the journalist that asked him was his dog in a press hat.
Yeah.
But also, I mean,
he barked
it. Taarabt, like... There's got to be a good reason why he's not playing.
Well,
it's the same problem with Taarabt as well. It's the endless attitude problem we've heard so much about. He's
exactly.
Such a maddening player.
I know, and especially when he went to Milan last year for a loan and did okay and scored a few goals.
He got his big move, didn't he?
For a bit.
But I understand what you're saying, Jim. I just think, well, you've got a massive squad of players there. You've got a system that you've changed from the system you started with.
And
so you've got ability and you've got opportunity. And they made enough chance. They made enough chances alone. The problem, let me put it in microcosm. The game against Liverpool, they made a hat load of chances.
Skirtle was the busiest defender in the league. He made more clearances than any defender over the weekend.
The thing you rely on Adel Taarabt for, you're already doing in abundance. Yeah. You don't need him to do that.
But as Jim said, he wasn't asked, why did you lose the game or why haven't you not got any attacking potency? Oh, well, Adel Taarabt. He was asked specifically about Taarabt. And if Taarabt has a poor attitude, which clearly he does, is Redknapp not in his right to say, well, I can't keep protecting people who don't want to train and don't want to do this, that, and the other?
But you're the manager. Manage.
Mm. Well, yeah. Manage is the key to management.
Management.
I need to move on, ladies and gentlemen, from this bloody from that game. Stoke beat Swansea 2-1. Another penalty or two.
Yeah.
Bonnie and Walters got the winner. It was such a shame that Key never scored that chance. I think it was Key off that superb Swansea move. That would have been my goal of the season so far if he'd put that away.
It would have been my goal of the millennium.
Yeah.
Because I am prone to hyperbole.
Since that Drogba, out that award.
Hyperbole.
Since that Drogba goal that you went mad about inexplicably once. That's what it was.
That was a superb goal. I think it was Chelsea away to Bolton, I think, in a 4-0 win.
You said it was the best goal since the invention of football, didn't you?
I'm not sure I went that far.
Since the FA standardised the rules of football.
Post-war. I think it was post-war. Victor Moses went down easily to win a penalty. Or did he? There was a few people on Twitter saying that if you saw it from another angle, it does look like he was shoved in the back.
I've seen that angle, and it does look like Rangel, at least, like, there is contact with his left arm, but I think Moses feels that and goes down.
Okay.
The referee's angle, you can see why the referee gave it. It does look like a full shove in the back, but from the other end, it looks soft as anything.
Gary Monk was fuming about it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he went over the top, I thought.
I liked it, though. I liked seeing someone just be passionate.
Do you think he went...
Furious.
He kind of
sat on my sofa enjoying it.
Do you think he went for it? And then he looked around and thought, oh, my goodness, you know, the shore is miles away. Right, I'm just going to have to keep on swimming
here.
And he didn't go back. And it was probably... And Hughes did say, you know, that comes with experience. You've got to watch yourself, which I thought, well, coming from you, Mark.
Come on, Mark. I don't want to hear it from you.
Surely for that reason, he's in a better reason to say that.
Yeah, no.
Or position, rather.
That's right. But it was a good win for Stoke. To say that Moses has cheated, okay, that's a little bit naughty, but that kind of thing can happen. But then to say, oh, and then the referee has cheated us as well.
Yeah.
That's...
But you can think of when you...
He can say he's conned the referee.
No, you can feel cheated about something. You can feel like if you were the better...
He didn't express it too well.
Yeah, I think he just got... I'm not... You know, whether I defend him or not, it doesn't give a shit, but... I think what's happened, he's been quite angry still, and he's not articulate what he meant. I think what he meant to say was, I felt cheated by the decision. The referee, I feel cheated because what the referee did. Mm. I don't think he meant, I genuinely don't think he meant to say the referee was a cheat.
Okay.
He's going to get busted for that anyway, if I bring in the game into disrepute and all that sort of stuff. That'll definitely happen. But I think, I understand what he was trying to say, but I think he went beyond what he should have done.
Yeah, fair enough. Talking to people cheating, in Brazil, did you see the Santos striker, Leandro Damel? He was spotted pulling his own shirt.
I did see that.
Was it a corner or a free kick or something was coming in, and he's running there, just tugging at the back of his own shirt as if to.
And then he went down, didn't he?
Did he go down? Did he use
the old trick where you get...
He never
like
got a decision.
Where you get like a tea towel and two long spoons and just sort of go, whoa.
I don't think... He may have done that after
maybe.
The game. If he's a true entertainer, he'd have done that after the game.
And he understands that football's about entertainment.
He said, I never deceive referees. I was pulling my shirt out because I felt sticky. What, while the game was going on? No, not having that at all.
And I pulled myself too hard and I fell over.
See, that is an excuse to match the ridiculousness of the incident in itself, and I think that is to be applauded.
Did he then go on to say, so I feel what should have happened is I should have been awarded a penalty, but I should have also had a penalty awarded against me.
Penalties all round.
Because I was the victim and the perpetrator.
Yeah, my goodness.
What about the Shawcross penalty decision?
Well, there was that one as well.
I think that's a penalty.
It is a penalty, but I wonder whether referees need to show a little bit more consistency in that approach.
That was basically what Shawcross said, but that doesn't mean he hadn't committed a foul.
No, I agree, yeah.
I think that's... It's like if you... not that I have, of course, but if you ever get pulled over for speeding, you think, well, hang on a minute, three people went past who were going over the limit. Yeah, but you still were going over the limit and you've been done, you know. Yeah. And it is one of those things, as Luke says.
Come on, everyone, they can't arrest us. Oh, they have gone.
Yeah, it's when people do a pitch invasion and you see like a steward grabbing one bloke and there's like thousands pouring past. Yeah. What you're doing is you take the chances, don't you?
Yeah.
And it is a little bit frustrating if you get pulled up for that, because the referees seem to not pick and choose, but they aren't consistent, as Luke said.
But some pundits will say, oh, if you give a penalty for that, you'll give 10 a game. Yeah, you will for one game. And
then people will stop doing it.
It won't happen
because
anymore.
It's, if you're basically bear-hugging someone so they can't move, that's impeding the play, isn't it?
Completely agree.
How is there any confusion?
Well, in the 70s or even the 80s, oh, well, you'd give everybody a yellow card for a tackle from behind. Yeah, well, now look where we are. Yeah.
The referee did say to Shawcross beforehand, though, I've got my eye on you, don't do that. He did actually
he
pulled him to one side before the corner was taken and said, don't do it, because Bonnie was complaining. And he just did it.
The Shawcross said, take my chances.
Yeah, I'll do what I want. You're not the boss of me.
You'll never see me. Yeah. But a good win for Stoke, though. A good win for Stoke. Arsenal, dear, oh dear. They rescued a point at home to Hull. Mm. It's funny, isn't it, Jim? I was up there.
No.
Well, I don't mean funny as in ha-ha.
Before you get
no,
angry,
I agree with him.
Before you get angry, Jim, I may as well get the plug in nice and early. Absolute Radio do have coverage of Arsenal versus Sunderland this weekend.
Oh, lovely.
So I think
you'll
be fine, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be all right.
You've got at least a point stamped on that one. Mm. Mate and I were talking through the fixtures. Who have Arsenal got? And I went, oh, they'll probably labour to a win against Hull at home. Mm. That was my natural response, and I meant it. And they didn't even manage
that. That Diarmé goal, though. Oh. Come on. That's such a foul.
A foul and a dink. He had two hands on him as well, didn't he? That's really frustrating, but still, there was plenty of time to turn the game around after that and not concede another ridiculous goal. Mm. But, I mean, we are so lucky that Alexis Sanchez has started so well, because he's changing everything. He set up Danny Welbeck's goal as well late on, so he's making such a positive difference. And obviously, part of the problem is we've got Hector Bellerin starting at right back and Nacho Monreal playing at centre back. He himself has said that position feels weird to him. So obviously that just says, why don't you target me in your training sessions? And like, but why have we started a season with six defenders? It's crazy. I mean, this is always going to be a problem sooner or later, and sadly it's been sooner. Absolutely. And it will keep being a problem once we sort it out in January.
You are right. You are very much right, Jim. Going into that game, I mean, Arsenal are clearly better than Hull. They're at home. Jelovic got injured in the warm-up, who's a big part of the Hull attack. Yeah. Given had to come off, didn't he?
He was injured in the warm-up.
Harper, you mean?
No, sorry, Harper.
Harper, yeah.
Same
thing.
Yeah. The keeper had to come off.
Mark Crossley went in.
So they had their disruptions. And also, was it Diarmé and Hernandez, the two goal scorers, weren't they on international duty?
Yeah, I think so.
And so they'd been all around the world and then come back and gone straight into a game of football pretty much. So, you know, Hull had their grievances, problems going in, and yet they've come away thinking, oh, we could have won that game.
Well, did Harper go off injured during the game?
Yeah. I think so. Just before half time, I think.
To be fair, he was quite busy before he did go off.
Yeah. Well, he earned his money.
He made a lot of chances. Yeah. But I think part of the problem is this defensive frailty has crept back into the side massively, so we're dropping points all over the place. And that affects the forward line as well, because there's that sense of panic, knowing that at any time there could just be some horrendous, like, cock-up that means we conceded a stupid goal. Yeah. And, I mean, that's got to affect the confidence of the team,
but
surely.
A lot of people fancied Arsenal for third place. And a lot of people still
will. We're going to struggle this season more than we have in a long time. Yeah. I really do think that.
It's a strange one. But Hull are having a great time, aren't they?
Yeah.
When Bruce took them up the other year, they were one of the teams where everyone thought, they're going to struggle. They're really going to struggle. And, you know, who are your three to go down? And the vast majority of people had Hull in there.
They've had a lot of investment, though, haven't they?
I like the team that Bruce is building there.
Yeah, I think he's doing it. I think he has done a great job. There's no two ways about that.
And I think Wenger should be applauded for the dogged commitment to just not strengthening areas of the team that everyone knows they need to strengthen. Not only is he not doing that, he's just destroying other parts of the team, which makes it look worse. It's crazy.
He's accentuating.
Yeah. So when Bruce's when Bruce's spies give him the Arsenal dossier, this is last year's. Yeah, it's still the same.
This dress is way too small. I'll get my boobs done, I think.
Did you see him on the tube? Did you see that photo of Steve Bruce on the tube?
Are you sure it wasn't just an old lady?
No,
it
was Bruce.
And he's going to Big Sam's birthday party.
Big Sam's birthday party.
In my mind, when I saw that,
ties
I thought,
on heads.
You know those 80s high school films when the man arranges for the girl to come to the house and he said it's a party, but it turned out just to be like a candlelit dinner between the two of them. I reckon that's what happened.
Lovely.
Big Sam says, a massive party, come down. Steve Bruce turns out, when's everyone else getting here? Sit down,
I've got a keg of stout.
I'm lighting a candle.
Oh, for me?
Just them two going down on a bore. Goodness me.
Oh dear, well done Hull. They're unlucky, though, not to win. There we are. Newcastle, a clean sheet and 3 points.
Goodness me.
What an upset.
Silly season.
And a flappy scoreboard.
Yeah, can't do anything,
you
know, right.
You've got to have your slice of Newcastle hilarity somehow, haven't you?
Yeah.
The new screen was captured by Ian McIntosh on Vine, wasn't it? Flapping around in the wind.
To be fair, it wasn't even that windy, apparently.
I saw a few
people. Was it a load of fans just blowing it?
I saw a few people suggesting that on our Facebook page, suggesting that they'd done that on purpose to get yet more TV coverage for Sports Direct.
Do you reckon?
Because the camera shots, all that Sports Direct were coming massive.
No.
Just put it out there.
I mean, the television looks, it's in a weird part of the ground. Yeah. Bearing in mind, not everyone can see it.
Yeah.
And it actually excludes 3/4 of the ground that can't see it. It's really strange.
It's not the worst decision they've ever made.
No.
The powers of being Newcastle.
But it's just annoying that, like, Pardew gets another bloody get out of jail card with Gavi Obertan, for fuck's sake.
Even if they'd lost 8-0, it wouldn't have mattered.
It's more amusing that, like, Lee Clark's just been fired by Birmingham, so all, like, the North East press are going, oh, Lee Clark's been, like, poorly treated by Birmingham. No, he fucking hasn't. Oh, did you see the passion when he ran towards his own fans last season? No, yeah, because he was only just got out of being relegated.
And his win percentage is like 28%. When they showed that on Sky Sports News, they had an interview with Barry Fry, who managed Birmingham in like 2003. Yeah, cheers, Barry. Yeah,
they're still paying off all the players, to be fair. Wages.
Lee Clark for Newcastle, then.
I'd take anything. But it's annoying that these characters. For a club that's got this sort of famous bloody messiah complex, Pardew's got these little messiahs. Like, one week it'll be Cissé, another week it'll be Sammy Amiobi, and this week is that Gabby Obertan. Yeah. And he just gets out of it.
But they're the players that play in his team, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. But it's just a little. Yeah, but they're not, like, apart from Cissé, who's probably is our only fit striker.
Sorry, can I just stop you there? You're basically having a go at the manager for getting performances out of players in his team.
Yeah, I am.
because
it's taken Gabby Obertan 2 seasons to get there.
And Pardew's finally done it. Terrible. And he should be accredited.
And the way he played Cissé up top by himself last season, he just had a terrible time.
Yeah, and those little players to score goals, pathetic.
Put your shirt back on and calm down.
I hate him so much. Wish that telly had fallen on his head.
Gabriel Obertan, great goal scorer in return. I mean, he's been in the Premier League for 5 years now. Two goals in five. I reckon I could score more than that in 5 years.
It was a good finish, though.
Well, he scored a couple of good, decent goals, mainly in pre-season.
He scored a couple of goals.
Pre-season and in cups.
Don't talk about pre-season.
Light bulb in a shirt, isn't he, Gabriel Obertan? That's what he looks like.
He is. And to finish off our Premier League roundup, Manchester City 4, Spurs 1. Penalties galore.
Yeah. How many penalties were there?
I think it was there four? Three.
Aguero took four. Three, didn't he?
In my head, there's about six.
I think there's four.
Yeah,
Aguero did take three, yeah.
He could have scored a penalty hat trick. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No. Well, Gerrard had the chance, didn't he, against United last season and missed one. But I thought it was the most ever. Apparently there was also four in a game between Derby and someone in 2000, apparently.
Was there?
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't remember.
Was that when Derby racked up 11 points?
Yeah, it might have been,
for the Premier League season.
They probably gave away all four.
Yeah.
If you give that decision, you're going to be given four penalties of match.
And he did.
Yeah, that's what the referee said to the other referee. Like, yeah, what's your point? What's your point?
It was a shame that Fazio was sent off, because it was quite a good game up until then.
I enjoyed it from start to finish.
So did I.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Okay. It's a brilliant game. Aguero, I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is not a player in world football who's better at Aguero at sorting his feet out quickly. Mm. I mean, he is up there. In terms of his feet and how quickly
he's
can move.
He's a bit messy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He genuinely is.
Fred scored more goals than him at the World Cup.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but those are just the facts.
And you can prove anything with facts, as a wise man once said. Aguero's now Man City's record Premier League scorer, I believe, 61 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's unplayable.
But, yeah, and he's overtaken Carlos Tevez, which shows you the difference in the
history of the club and stuff. Yeah. He's got 9 goals in 6 games against Tottenham now. He just fills his boots every time.
He loves it.
It's become a psychological with them, like it was with Torres against United for that brief period of time.
If they hadn't lost by, you know, four goals, I guess it's kind of. I thought Lloris was really, really good.
Yeah.
I thought he was excellent, what can you do?
When he's in that sort of form, he really is up there with the best in the world, isn't he? If he could stay consistently fit, I think he'd be considered that. Like,
who, Lloris?
Way more often. No, sorry, I mean Aguero.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Aguero, he's absolutely fantastic. I mean, his movement, his pace, his little ball like strength as well. He's the sort of player you'd look at him and you'd think, is he going to be that strong because he's so small? But I reckon his core strength is huge.
Well, though,
he's just huge. He's so difficult to play against. Spurs would be a lot. The thing that's confusing for Spurs at the back is they've had to play Fazio in there with Cabal. Okay, the Cabal's I think Cabal was captain against City. You'd want to be relying on Vertonghen to play in that game. Mm. But it looks to me that he either can't get a performance out of Vertonghen, he can't get him motivated, or he's not fit.
Yeah.
And Vertonghen started off the season by saying he's not going to sign a new contract, which isn't obviously ideal. So Vertonghen appears to... presuming he is fit, it looks to me that Pochettino can't rely on Vertonghen in the biggest games he needs him in, which is ridiculous.
Do you think that Pardew could get a performance out of Vertonghen?
I think he probably would.
He'd be one of those little messiahs, wouldn't he? Coming along playing well.
Might take him 2 years, but he'd get there.
I'll tell you what, a fit and motivated Vertonghen offers you.
Yeah.
He offers you a lot of strength, a lot of quality at the back. He can contribute with free kicks. Yeah. He gets goals every so often. He's a really big player on his day, and he clearly doesn't want to be there anymore, which is a big blow for Spurs. But if I was Pochettino, I'd be saying to him, look, you want to move? You want to move? Fine, but let's get yourself in the shop window then. Put some performances in for us, because we need you.
Absolutely. But Manchester City, march on. In the Championship, Nottingham Forest lost.
Out by March.
Is this the slip? Is this
the slide?
I'm
only going to offer two words of punditry on this entire game. It started.
Don't be cruel.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Russell Slade wins his first match in charge. There was a lot of winnings of first matches in charge. Neil Lennon at Bolton. They beat Birmingham. That obviously saw the end of Lee Clark's reign.
That was a fantastic...
And Steve Watson.
And Steve Watson.
And Steve Watson.
That, and it's...
tragedy.
It's his former teammate, Steve.
A tragedy.
Steve Watson,
You know...
Jukanovic, his Watford side won.
They're top of the league with Watford.
They're unbelievable. They're on their fourth manager, is it?
Yeah. And it's working.
By the end of the season,
if they have about 20...
They need to keep it fresh.
It's that factor of a new man coming in.
Yeah, just, it's that bump.
They're just doing... They've hooked up with like a temp agency or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like X Factor, a new winner every year. Guaranteed Chris is number one.
The scariest thing for Watford fans here is the owner's probably thinking, well... Yeah, it's obviously working.
Yeah,
It's endorsing my approach to this, and I'm going to keep doing it.
It's a manager rotation system. We've never seen it before.
Mm. In the
Trailblazers.
In the Bolton game, they were 1-0 up. Obviously, they won the game 1-0 in the end, but quite late on, they were 1-0 up, and the keeper was sent off, and they gave a penalty away, and the striker had to go and goal.
Nice.
And Bolton had to shut a penalty then against the striker and goals to put them 2-0 up.
Yeah.
Put it over the bar.
Oh, my goodness.
You're just taking a penalty against someone who isn't even a keeper. Just get it on target.
Yeah.
Like, even if you put it like halfway between the keeper and the post.
You've got a chance.
Make sure you hit the target.
Yeah, hard and low. That's what you've got to do.
Neil Lennon, he was sent to the stands for leaving his technical area.
Because he was trying... That's the thing, see. I think I'm right in saying... Neil Lennon went crazy trying to get the right player to take the penalty. But I forget who took it, but he stepped in and wouldn't give it up. And Lennon was going apoplectic to really get the right player to take the penalty. He eventually got sent off.
You can imagine what happened to that man who put it over the bar.
In the dressing room afterwards. He just got chinned.
Yeah. he's just a stain on the wall now.
There's a scene in... I won't give it away for too many people. There's a scene in Breaking Bad. When a character called Gus Fring comes in, just walks in the room, grabs this guy, I won't say who it is, doesn't say anything, just slits his neck with a knife and just walks out. That's what Neil Lennon's done to that player.
It's a bit sinister. Mm.
Well, I'll just say, don't blame me.
Yeah,
don't expect him back soon. where else are we? Oh, yeah, Middlesbrough. They're going very well under Karanka. It's exciting times. They do love a mid-season dip, though.
Mm.
Do Middlesbrough. They usually go pretty well until Christmas.
It's the weather.
Do you think it gets to them?
Do you think it's seasonal affective disorder?
I'm quite hopeful.
They just can't motivate themselves.
It'd be nice to see the Borough do something.
It'd be
this
great.
Season.
My football knowledge extends to having an inkling that I think Middlesbrough have got an amazing record against Brighton. Checked it on Soccer Base. Soccer Base was down, so I can't confirm or deny it.
Right.
So look it up yourself.
Yeah.
Or send an email to Soccer Base, whoever owns their service, and say, what the fuck, guys?
Well, I've already done that.
Okay, right.
They didn't get back to me.
Up the Borough.
We did a piece on the like old grounds that have disappeared and stuff. And
On the BBC.
Ayrton Park, somebody's just put where the penalty spot was, they've put a bronze football. But bronze, and just put it in the ground. That's terrible, because your kids are going to just be booting that and hurting their feet. I hate that. Don't like to see that in modern game.
It's not the modern game, Pete.
Stop
that's
the young
trouble.
Players coming through, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
Breaking
their
feet when they're really like really
interactive.
Yeah.
Completely.
Where's your next Lee Catamol? I know he's from Stockton. Shut up.
Should we go abroad?
If you want. Oh, no, wait. Can I go to Scotland Fest?
Oh, go on.
Can I take us to Scotland?
Yeah.
Did you read about...
Hang on a minute. I should normally do that.
I know. Yeah, you should be. Drive. Well, maybe you missed
it. It's catching, isn't it?
Maybe you missed it. Maybe you missed it.
You're getting the disease.
Oh, someone's about to book a show in Northern Border. The Ravel Line.
Well, we're not doing Northern Ireland after last week.
Oh, yeah, we had a couple of Northern Irish chaps. I said last week, didn't I, that, you know, I said quite flippantly, where were you, Northern Ireland? Because Scotland and Wales apparently were represented, but they were. Bringing the home nations together.
Peterhead striker, Andy Rogers. Did you read about this?
No.
Obviously.
He, on Twitter, called Dunfermline footballer Josh Falkingham a cheat and labelled the people of Fife mutants.
Which is the kingdom of Fife.
Which is strong, I think.
That is strong.
Your Twitter game is strong.
It's incorrect as well. Hey, Fifers. Bloody lovely.
The fines in the post.
Fife's a beautiful place.
You got a friend called Slim. From Fife.
Just got married, went to Cuba and listened to the ramble.
Has he just got
just
married?
Got married.
Congratulations.
Many
to
happy
him.
Returns.
Nice chap.
There we go. There we are. Let's go to Serie A. If that's all right.
All right.
Sassuolo managed to get a point against Juventus. Very strange result. Juve were on a 13-game winning streak, and Sassuolo had only picked up 3 points before this one. And they were hammered 7-0 by Inter the other week. So very, very strange indeed. And that result has let Roma move to within 1 point of the old lady.
Which is great, because after Juventus and Roma played and Juventus won, like, there were already people writing off Roma's title challenge, which was madness.
The thing about Roma is they haven't won many titles in the history, have they?
No,
so there's a little bit of a monkey in the back, I think. But Roma, Totti, did you see Totti?
Won one fairly recently.
2000?
Something like that.
Yeah, 2000, the Capello, I believe. Yeah, but that's only their third ever, I think.
No, true, but I'm just saying, it's not
Rome
like
is the capital of Italy.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they should be, I think everyone generally understands that they should be achieving more.
Well, Edinburgh's the capital of Scotland.
Yeah, what's your point?
Well, I think you know.
Are you unhappy with your with your beloved corgi boy? Is that what you're saying? Because if you are, say it now.
I'm just saying, sometimes that doesn't hold much weight
Fair
in the
enough.
Footballing world.
I was actually going to say that Totti... apparently, according to many of our listeners who've got in touch, said that I didn't see this personally, but Totti is obviously an older man now. He doesn't normally.
He's late 30s.
He doesn't play out the 90 minutes, so he gets subbed off quite a lot. Apparently, he just refuses to take his captain's armband off. No, generally, they take him off and give it to someone else. They come off. Nope.
Has to give it.
Just no one's captain.
I don't know.
The sub has to bring on another one.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, though, Totti. He set up the first goal with a raking pass after some nice work. Which Lajic, I think it was, scored. And then Totti had a penalty. And I love the way Totti takes penalties. Because you might remember the dinker he scored in, I think, the European Championship semi-final against the Dutch in the penalty shootout. But often he just thumps them. And it's a case of it's either going high and wide or it's going in. And with his accuracy...
It's going in.
Oh, yeah.
And I also like the fact that when Totti strikes a ball, because I've seen him do it, he'd still... does it quite gracefully.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of grace and class about his action.
It's incredible that we still have him playing football. It's a joy.
A privilege.
Didn't he sign like a 10-year contract when he was like 35?
Yeah.
And people were saying, well, what's going to happen when he's too old to play? Ah, just give him a director.
Too old to play?
Yeah. It's not happening.
Destro scored a lovely header in that game. I'm getting my words confused. He did score a lovely header. It was in that game. And he's scoring some good goals. I'm enjoying him so far. Milan. They won 3-1 Honda with a brace. There was a proper own goal in that game.
I haven't seen it.
It was delightful. Oh. Check that one out, ladies and gentlemen. It's up. Maybe not quite as good as Virginie, but it would challenge it.
We could actually do a top three own goals, because we've got Kolka, we've got Dunn, we've got Virginie, we've got... who is it?
I'm not sure, the Verona defender. But that was up there. It was no pressure, just a simple clearance, spooned right off his shin and into the corner.
Have you ever scored? I've scored a few own goals. Don't worry about it. It's happened.
I've never got one. Never got one. Into Napoli, all four goals in the last 11 minutes.
There was a lot of that as well.
There was a lot of that.
Didn't Callahan score a lovely one?
He did. Mm. It was a beauty. Mm. That ball straight over and then side foot volley into the corner.
I tell you, who scored a beauty this weekend.
Go on.
Wesley Sneijder.
Again, we're coming to that. Coming to that. Okay. Easy.
Sorry. So excited, man.
Hernandez equalised, and it's somersault celebration.
Yeah.
That was delightful. A lot of delightful things happening in Europe.
See that
on
young
the
lad in India died doing a somersault this week.
Wow.
This weekend. He landed on his head and broke his spine.
Oh, that's wow.
Horrible.
Did that actually happen?
Yeah, it was in the third tier of Indian football. Because obviously they've got a new Premier League, effectively. Yeah. There's some funny. Like, I think Peter Reid's managing one team. David James is a player manager as well.
Freddie Lindberg's over there. Robert Pires has come out of retirement to play that.
Of course, Peter Reid is managing.
But he already was.
I think they're out three or or four matches in, and I think one of the players, they've had their first Indian scorer of a goal because everyone else has been like a kind of foreign guys. Mm. But you know, it's positive. They're doing. I think it's only like 7 weeks long. The league.
It's like the cricket.
It's quite interesting. Yeah, and they're all owned by massive like Bollywood stars. It's really interesting.
Wow.
And I think I sent you guys an email about this one guy who owns Northeast.
Yes.
Northeast United, I think they're called.
Yep.
And they're obviously my team.
Yep.
in the new Indian Premier League, and he's been in like loads of films with like slightly dirty names, like Jism.
Oh yeah, you did. You sent us some of
Jism
those.
And Pop. And yeah. There was two films that this guy was.
That's
in.
How you got into the Indian Premier League.
Yeah. You very much worked backward from this Google.
Yeah. From a film called Jism.
I was typing Jism and Pop into
Google. I want the trade description act on this film.
Do you know there's a toy in Japan where you put it on your desktop and it's linked to your computer, and every time you type in something dirty into Google, the baby just blinks. Slowly.
Ooh,
it just sits and watches you. The baby
just
goes,
Japanese.
What are you doing?
Mm, very awesome.
What are you doing?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. League.
I haven't done that in a while.
Cavani.
Can we do that again?
Yeah. League. There you go.
I never cared for it.
No? On your own. Cavani was booked for doing a gun shooting celebration.
Yeah, even having seen this, I don't really understand it.
Mm. Well, Pat was allowed to do like a bow and arrow. Who else has bows and arrows?
Robbie Keane did.
Robbie Keane.
They're all mine bow and arrows, mate, so anyone can have one.
Robbie Hood.
Robbie Hood.
It was on last
play
night.
Play for Nottingham Forest.
Hey! Lovely.
Was it lovely, though? Was it? I don't know.
Had a big falling out with the sheriff.
There is a team called FC Sheriff.
Yeah.
Yeah, where are they from? They're playing the Europa League a lot.
Jan Azai, Di Maria, Van Persie. That's your forward line for Manchester United tonight. We've got the computer. We've got the telly on in the studio.
We've got the technology.
We've got the technology. That's the team to play West Brom. If they can't score a goal against West Brom, I'll be very surprised.
No one's
very
they can't.
Surprised. We've finished Premier League chat, though.
No, yes. I'm bringing it back.
And this hasn't happened yet.
Cavani, he booked for doing a gun shooting celebration, then queried the ref, saying, sorry, what was that for? And then the ref sent him off and gave him another bookable for a descent. And he was just like, what is going on?
What is happening?
I bet he was gutted. He was all out of bullets.
Yeah. Great goal from Maxwell in that game. Yeah.
Let the highlight of French football this weekend, we all know what it was, just say it.
Marseille, with their eighth straight win, Bielsa's men, they're 7 points clear of PSG. Bielsa was in his tracksuit again, sitting on the drinks box, but someone put a coffee on the drinks box. Bielsa didn't see it, went to sit down and did a lovely sort of startle, get straight back up and look around. Who the bloody hell put that there?
And then booted it.
Yeah, and he kicked the coffee.
It was one of the coaches. If you look at the beforehand, you see him just. I don't know why he did it.
Well, they know he sits there. There is literally not a worse place in the universe that he could have put the coffee.
It's got it there. Look on the Ramble website because that is very, very funny.
Was he not giving him a coffee for him to drink?
Yeah, but he just put it on his chair. It's odd. Someone sent me. The reason I haven't really. I mean, I'm going to work now, so it's not really irrelevant. Someone sent me a picture of Bielsa in his full Marseille kit in a McDonald's. But the picture is so grainy, I'm not sure if it's him or not.
Yeah, but right, it's a tracksuit, though.
Yes, he's wearing a tracksuit.
No one else would wear that, sure.
Yeah, maybe not. It's a fair point, but it's difficult to tell. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the thing I need to be able to identify him is his old glasses on the string, but he's not wearing those anymore, so it's difficult.
Was he sitting on coffees?
No, he wasn't.
He was sitting on the bin with the where you put the.
That's all right, I brought my own chair.
Before we go to Turkey, in Ligue 2, Le Havre are close to acquiring the services of troubled Brazilian forward Adriano. Remember him?
Yeah.
The Emperor.
Yeah.
Of course,
how
you remember him.
Now?
We often talk about
him. Must be really knocking on.
32, 33?
Really?
He's not that old.
Blimey.
Which is a great shame, of course, because talk about talented players who were troubled off the field.
Well, unfortunately, his problems are sort of well.
Well, yes, that was very, very bad.
He's still
indeed.
Not in great nick, though, like physically.
But
who is Pete? Hey? I'm looking around this room here.
Good point.
Who is?
We don't have that 3 gym sessions a week contract, do we? That's Lord Ramble's trying to bring in. According to the club's president, Adriano is seeking to launch himself again. He is free and Le Havre will give him some visibility in Europe. He's basically said, he can use us as a shop window.
Disrespectful to Le Havre, isn't it?
I know.
I'd be more worried about his visibility from space, quite frankly.
Disappointing.
Let's go to Turkey. Just before the big one between Galatasaray and Fenerbahce, the Galatasaray fans gave a tribute to Graeme Souness and his flag-planting antics from 18 years
ago. I saw this. It's a really good crowd display.
It's incredible.
Yes. How have they done that, though?
I don't know. How
are they allowed to bring that stuff into the actual stadium?
No, because the thing is, when you have displays like that, so you see Dortmund do it, they've done it at Wembley when I've been there, the club themselves provide the colour pieces of card for you to hold up from your seat.
Is that that? Yeah. No, but is it that though? I just thought it was like a big kind of weird kind of mosaic, not mosaic, but like it's looks like it's not cards.
I want to believe the club endorsed
it's full bits
of pitch was cards, but the actual main bit of it, as you say, the bit, the big thing, yeah,
because it sits up like a sail. It's like a big sail. I don't know where they got the big stick from, because that would have been solid
part of it.
Yeah. It's just strange.
It's just enjoy it.
Yeah. If you go back and watch that Sooners clip, he takes a long time to get that on the ground. That is the if he couldn't have done that,
he's probably
that would have
shaking.
Been disappointing.
That's why.
That is his declaration of war. That is.
He's also got a brilliant pair of trainers on. Yeah, a pair of really 90s trainers.
Oh man! But as you said earlier, Luke, Wesley Snider scored two absolute beauties in that game to win it 2-1 for Galatasaray. Again, worth checking out.
One of them he scored from miles out, top corner. The backlift was just non-existent. Smashed it.
Then he repeated it like moments later, and then Fenerbahce scored like all in the 90th minute, I think.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Blimey!
This show should be called the Late Late Show, because that's what we're talking
about. Right, now it's time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game.
It is indeed time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game. Last week, I chucked a mystery voice at you, and then you guys had to guess what it was, and. Couple of you did.
Oh, did they?
Quite good. I thought it was quite difficult, and I think it proved that that is exactly the case. Stop watching the telly. Neil Lennon's on the telly. Looks like he's been crying.
I thought he was looking at us.
This was the mystery voice.
Die teleurstelling was voor mij best moeilijk te bevatten. Alleen ik was wel op een punt dat ik na 17 jaar voetbal wel voelde.
Ed Carver, no, it was not Brian Penis. Ben Stevenson, Mario Melchiot, it was not.
We get a Brian Penis entry every week.
Yeah, pretty much. Kai Broccoli, it wasn't Edgar Davids or Clarence Seedorf. A lot of people going for that. Sean Thomas, few people going for Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Richard Wilson went for that as well. Somebody said Peter Beasley. Robert Dunn, get out. Clearly Dutch. The people who got it right was Roel Thews, Patrick Finch, Rick Lindemann, Carrie Duffy, Tom McGee and Adam Murphy. Rick Lindemann says, Dear Ramblers, the voice of the episode memory form is Reggie Blinker.
Yay!
Which strangely, even though being Surinamese winger sounds like a scary Dutch kid's clown bassy, I'm not really sure what that means. But thank you for getting involved, Rick. A lot of people that got involved are actually Dutch, so it's a little bit easier. So,
but nice to hear from you.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know how you would ever be able to get that right. No. It's such a hard
voice. Especially like Dutch Surinamese. So it's kind of like, I don't really know what that accent is, really.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. There you go. What we got this week?
So, well done, the Dutch. It's this.
Jag är 47 år gammal. Har som aktiv spelare då spelat i Helsingborg, IFK Göteborg.
So now you know. Ooh. It's a toughie. Let's have it again.
Jag är 47 år gammal. Har som aktiv spelare då spelat i Helsingborg, IFK Göteborg.
If you know what that is, voice at thefootballramble.com and write your names in, or write the name of the player you think it is in the subject line.
Put in the subject line, this has tested me. And then put the name.
Don't do that. No, because it will go into the spam filter and we won't get it out.
Well, one, it's funnier. And two, it makes it harder for Pete.
Spam filter.
So win-win.
Spam filter. Just a little email here from Joshua Verdiger. He said, in South Korea, there is a team called Korean Police FC.
Okay.
They're actually called Ansan Police FC, Joshua, but thank you for turning my attention to them. They're known as in South Korea as Police FC, but we do have a Metropolitan Police FC in this country who play in the Ismanian League, which is the seventh tier of English football. I used to play with a couple of guys who played on that particular team. They were very, very
They're
good.
They're a good team, aren't they,
Met? Very good standard.
Yeah.
Seventh tier, not too shabby.
No.
Not too shabby. Let's have some highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Luke.
Just over here.
Hello.
Highlights of the week. Same old drill every time, you know. We all like it. We all love it.
Yeah.
We all enjoy it.
We all endure it.
Football and chat every minute.
Yeah. We got to mention this. I purposely didn't mention this in the main body of the show because I wanted Mark Withermouth, which is a good name.
Brilliant.
For a Twitter
name.
Wow,
I'm already a fan.
So,
yes.
My heart of the week is Sunderland getting spelt out on the video printer for conceding eight.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, that was nice.
Jordan Wilson says, decided to go for a shower after 85 minutes of QPR Liverpool.
Ah.
But then I was too lazy to get up off the couch. Apathy saves the day again.
Well done.
Leo Wakeman, I spent over an hour with my brother speculating on the size of Fat Sam's 60th birthday cake. In almost all the scenarios involved gravy icing. Alex Jennings says, Harry Redknapp criticising Adam Tarat for lack of work this season when Les Ferdinand, Glenn Hoddle, Joe Jordan and Kevin Bond are all employed by him and he started actually taking phone calls during matches.
Yeah. They're not even playing a back three anymore, but Hoddle's still there.
Yeah, he's got, there,
his,
yeah.
He's got his hacky on.
Well, hang on, I might want to use it. I might want to use it again, so we better keep him on. Yeah. Jamie Kennedy, after coming off the pitch after a 7-0 defeat for my local team Witney Royals, I then went back to the pub to see the latest scores come in and my team Sunderland being 8-0 down. Fuck my life. Things could only get better, so I went and bought myself a pound scratch card, ended up winning £2.
Oi!
Hashtag beating the system.
What I like about that is that the Sunderland match would have ended and Newcastle would still have 45 minutes of football left.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Incredible.
I'll finish off with a big shop tip, as I always do. Alan Pleadon, this is actually a very good one. Alan Pleadon, do your big shop where you only buy cheap own brand products. Work out which ones are decent enough to permanently replace the expensive brands, then save yourself the money on the next shop.
That's a good bit of advice.
That's just too organised.
It's a short term hit for a long time.
I sat on my couch and ate crab sticks all night. That was my tea.
Crab flavoured sticks.
Crab flavoured sticks. Surimi.
That is good advice, but they never ever compromise on tuna.
Fair enough.
Like, seriously.
Pete, don't laugh. Marcus wants to put his own
research. He's done research.
Well, all I'm saying is, all right, you've got
don't
more.
Laugh.
The cheaper tuna probably involved a couple of fair few dolphins getting caught in the neck, maybe. I don't know.
Dolphins are idiots, mate. Yeah. Dolphins are horrible.
Right. Well, we can eat dolphin then.
Always go, is it John West?
I think what Alan Pleadon has realised.
Other tunas are available, but they're not worth it.
And as thus communicated to us, when it comes to a big shop, you get out what you put in.
Yep.
You want to put the effort in.
Yep.
You want to do that, you'll get the results.
You'll see the results in the cupboards.
Pete, you live in Soho. You probably go to those little local shops for your shopping. You don't go to a big shop.
That's in fancy old central London.
I can't even find bloody red milk in the off licence next to my house.
You mean blood?
Yeah.
What annoying. Though I do have a cardboard cutout of Ron Jeremy over the street from me.
So I
open my window and I see Ron Jeremy every morning. It's rather illuminating.
My goodness. What about, do we have any forum posts?
Oh, yes, we do. And if you want to involve yourself in the forum, it's thefootballramble.com/forum. I put this question to the forum users as well, saying, what's your highlight of the week? And I have actually got a few here. Let me have a look. Evero Central says, Neil Warnock has worn the same white T-shirt every day since he was appointed Palace boss. I think that's actually true. It's a polo shirt, isn't it?
He must just have a wardrobe full of the same thing.
He dresses like he's like managing a team in like World Cup 94 or something.
So yeah, a little bit.
It's really weird.
The Carragher Aimless Hoof says, Redknapp's post-match press conference where it looked like for a while his face might physically turn into a clenched fist, a la Lee Bowyer.
Yes.
What have we got here? Hank Scorpio has been watching York City. He says, a York City player attempted to put a first-time cross in from a short corner, missed the ball, stacked it massively, and the opponents almost scored on the resulting counter-attack. That would have been brilliant if that actually happened. That would have been so good. And I'll finish off with this one from DMD. He says, I didn't watch a minute of football this weekend, but I did partake in a bouncy castle Royal Rumble.
Better.
Yeah. I'm 30. I'm not 30.
Except no other substitute.
Yeah.
There we are. That's it, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Thanks for listening. It's been bloody lovely having you. Do email us, show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website where a lot of these wonderful things we're talking about is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people asking if we're going to do Lamble live shows. Lamble live shows outside of London.
I'm not going to make a joke.
The question is yes. The answer is yes. We are. We're planning it. Just keep watching the approved channels.
Keep watching the skies.
Yeah,
and we do mean approved channels.
Yeah.
Pete, Absolute Radio.
Well, I already did that a little bit earlier on.
Do it again.
It's Arsenal versus Hull.
Arsenal versus Sunderland, mate.
Sorry, Arsenal versus Sunderland.
Oh, nonchalant.
Arsenal versus Hull was last week's.
Yeah.
And they got a 2-2 thriller.
Yeah. There we go. Say goodbye,
Jim.
Damn it all. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Laters.
Learn from that, Jim. Red milk's horrible, Pete.
No, it's not.
It is.
I don't like it.
No,
it's like
red
water.
Milk. No, red milk, and then you go back to green milk, and it's too fatty. You're like, bleh.
So what's the health benefit of red milk?
It's less fatty, isn't it?
Yeah. It's loads less fat. It's like 0.1%, whereas green milk is like 2% or something.
Yeah. I mean, I do put more red milk than I would green milk in, but what are you going to do there?
What are you going to do?
What? How much is blue milk? Like 5% or something?
Fuck yeah, I still do blue milk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't it something crazy, like 20% or something? It's unspeakable.
Wow. Which company is it that mixed it right up with purple cap milk?
You get 1%.
What's purple cap?
Do 1%, which is orange cap.
Oh, orange cap. But there is a
purple. What's
purple one.
Milk?
I don't know, I can't. Just can't figure it out, Pete. And I never read instructions.
I like the. Is it Cravendale that stays fresh for ages?
What, long life?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. No, it's not long life. It's not long life as in it tastes like crap. It tastes like milk. It's milk, but it's just, I don't know what they do to it, but it stays fresh for a long time.
Okay, long life is...
For a single man, it's a real lifesaver.
I can vouch.
I'll put this at the end.
Long life long life milk is the taste of camping. And it is, isn't it?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.